The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules in beautiful Southern California. And I've got to admit, last week I missed a show and I apologize, but I was so busy working on our fabulous new magazine. And I'm happy to say it is now viewable. And I'm so thrilled with it. If you haven't signed up for your free year subscription, make sure you do that as soon as possible. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net and dive into this issue. Greg Braden has a really, really tremendous article in it, as well as Joe Vitale, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and we have got a spectacular video featuring Foster Gamble. Would you like to know how to feng shui your bedroom for a good night's sleep and to increase your income? Well, check out the article from Karen Roche Carter. She has a fantastic article in there. And you know, we have everything from love, money, health, even spiritual connection. And it is fabulous. Well, I think it is, and I do hope you enjoy it. Tonight, we are bringing back on Mr. William Wycloud to talk about the Law of Attraction. And a very important part of the Law of Attraction is honing in on your intuition skills, your inner guidance system. For instance, you know, I was working on the magazine and there was something that was really not working and I couldn't figure it out. And well, I worked a couple of hours on it and was becoming so frustrated. And I was kind of saying not so pleasant of words, if you get my drift. So I just had to walk away and stop the chatter that was going on and all the frustration. Well, once I was able to get away from it, the answer popped into my head. Sometimes our inner drive keeps us from accessing the consciousness where we can tap into the cosmos and let the answers flow in. And thank goodness for that frustration. You know, I could only stand a few hours of it, and had I dealt with the emotional feeling of frustration earlier, I could have resolved it almost immediately. In other words, I had to get out of my head to let the answers come. So tonight, William and I are talking about intuition, and I think you're going to get some great insight from it. I also want to mention that we have some new shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network. Come on over and visit our website and listen to our 24/7 broadcast through our mobile apps. Coach Rita Hurry from the UK is joining us with her new show called Your Missing Link to the Law of Attraction. She answers personal questions and gives out some really great Law of Attraction tips. I know you're going to love this show. We also have a couple of other new shows coming on, like Dr. Sereni Pillay, MD, of Harvard Medical School. And we also have the Law of Attraction magic guy, Robert Zink, coming on. So browse on over to Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com and check us out. While you're there, you can also see the magazine there. Or remember, you can go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. So let's take a fast station ID break and we'll be right back with Australia's best-selling author, Mr. William Wycloud.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jay Warren here, professional basketball player and entrepreneur. And I want to give a testimonial for a good friend of mine, Jules Johnson. I call her good friend because before I had met her, I've been listening to her Law of Attraction radio show for over 2 years. Just the information she shared on her show was amazing that I had to connect and reach out to this woman. After I reached out to her, we spoke, I had a conversation, and she suggested some sessions to me. And just with those couple of sessions that she has gave me, I've seen the dramatic results in my life. It's been mind-blowing on just what a couple of sessions with her have done for me. You know, she's very humble, she's very honest, but she knows her information. She knows the law of attraction, and she knows the barriers that are keeping you from moving forward in your life. If you're a big believer in the law of attraction, hypnosis, whatever, I highly, highly suggest Jill Johnson for you, because she will definitely lead you down the path that you need to go. So thanks again, Jules. I love you very much. Take care. Bye.
Now let's talk with one of my all-time favorite guests, Mr. William Wycloud. Welcome back, William, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thanks, Jules. Really good to be back. Good to hear your positive, bubbly voice. Always a real tonic, as ever.
You're great. Let's talk about this thing we know as intuition, but we really don't understand it. Can we talk about intuition and how it actually helps the manifestation process?
For sure. One of my favorite topics, so I'm obviously delighted to talk about it, Jules. And, you know, I think in introducing the topic, you mentioned something about that it's very little understood, and I agree with that. When you talk to the average person out there, you know, they think of intuition as some sort of random sixth sense that we might have, something that happens to us randomly, and, you know, where, you know, someone will meet me and say, oh, you know, I thought about my aunt today, and damnedest thing, you know, 5 minutes later, she called me. How about that? As though, you know, that's something incredible. And in some sense, it is, because it is evidence of a power that we have. But it says nothing about really what it's about and what how it serves us. And really, intuition relates to our awareness, because we, you know, have different levels of awareness. And depending on our level of awareness, that will determine the kind of quality of life that we have. Because let's face it, we're only really as good as the awareness that we rely on in life. Information is king, as they say, in business and in politics and whatever. But it's just true for life in general. And so intuition is our, if you like, our higher mode of awareness. And the thing about it is that as it applies to manifestation, intuition is not necessarily, as some people think that this random insight that we have occasionally, you know, brilliant, almost psychic-like insight that we have occasionally, or some that necessarily has to be developed, self-consciously developed, although it is a good thing to do. But most importantly, I believe, is to understand that intuition is actually a function of our focus, of a higher focus, where we focus on what truly matters to us in life and intend for that to unfold in our lives. That abundance, that life that is in our highest good to unfold. And when we focus on that end result or those end results, focus creates reality. We've often heard that, but it's not just a function of what's attracted to us. Well, it is in one sense, because also what is attracted to us is awarenesses that we then need to be conscious of in terms of what we're focusing on. So once we're focused, powerfully focused, on what it is that matters to us, what we care about in life, what we love, then awareness begins dawning on us that relates to what we're going for. And so then we become conscious of what we need to be aware of in relation to going for what we're going for, which otherwise we wouldn't be. When we're preoccupied with our problems and our circumstances and how we're going to get things, really mostly what's occurring of our beliefs, and we remain bonded to possibility, to the connections that we could make, etc. And so really this is, you know, I think the most positive insight into intuition that you can have.
Wow. Well, does intuition, I mean, how are we getting our intuition? It's a gut feeling, or is it through the pineal gland? Well, how do we get that? Through our focus, of course, but how do we feel it?
It happens to us in all different forms and in different ways. But you see, the thing is scientists will tell you that, and they do, they tell us that we process 400 billion bits of information every second. 400 billion bits of information every second. And that's a staggering amount of information if you think about it. And what is even more staggering is that we are only self-consciously aware of 2,000 bits of information every second. 2,000 bits of information out of 400 billion bits of information. So our consciousness, our minds are very selective, in other words, in the information that we're being fed, in what we're thinking about, the way we feel about things, the way we look at things, the way we see things, etc. Our perception is very limited. It's 2,000 bits of information out of 400 billion bits. Now, in that spectrum of 400 billion bits, there's all kinds of information available to us, from the most negative ideas, and the most limiting, most stunted, most pessimistic views of the world, to the most uplifted, positive, optimistic view of the world. And also within that, inspirations, ideas, solutions, all of that. And so depending on our focus is going to determine which end of the spectrum we're going to receive, whether we're going to be receiving the junk end of the spectrum or whether we're going to be receiving the positive end of the spectrum. It's actually up to us. You know, every individual, every person, you and I, and everybody listening here, has the potential to be in, as Aldous Huxley wrote, to either be in heaven or hell. We create our own heavens and our own hell. And as Aldous Huxley famously wrote in his book, whether we're in heaven or hell just depends on us and what we focus on. And if we have the right focus, then we can have the perception that is going to serve our highest good, that is going to serve our well-being, is going to serve our happiest state of being and most abundant experience of life. And you see, to answer your question, it really, that information will occur to us in whatever way it needs to occur to us. How it's occurring to us, I believe, whether it's through the pineal gland or just through some rational mental processes, who knows? I even say who cares, because it's actually the end result that counts. And the end result is you know, Jules, yesterday, I'll be honest with you, I woke up in the most pessimistic mood I've had for a long time. I felt quite depressed and quite negative about things in my life. And, you know, I just couldn't see how what I've got planned for the year was going to work out, and you know, started imagining scenarios where people weren't helpful to me, and opportunities were limited, etc. And today I woke up in a totally different mood, where you know, I woke up feeling well and happy, optimistic, and you know, my perception of life is that everything's good. I could see how things are working out. All day I've been having great ideas and inspirations about how things are going to come together. I'm reading my emails. You know, there's positive feedback from people and my business associates around the world. And, you know, everything's coming together. And just as I wish it to be. And, you know, even for myself, I can just see that there are these two sides of a scale, really, that I can be in. And it just depends where I'm going to put the power is going to determine which reality I'm going to live out of. And if I'm going to live out of that optimistic, positive, abundant reality, then and be focused on that, well, then it's just going to occur to me in whatever way it needs to find to occur to me. You know, I'm going to get the emails that are encouraging, that serve that. Thought processes are going to occur to me, feelings, realizations, inspirations, and just in whatever form we experience those day to day, basically. But you know, I stress the important thing behind all of this is our focus. Mm. And when our focus is right, then our intuition, without us having to do anything self-consciously, it's automatic. It automatically kicks in and presents to us the higher awareness that is going to serve us in our manifesting process.
Wow. So what I'm hearing you say is that we are getting all of this information, but are we really open, and are we focusing on being in that good mood or that better place so that we can actually identify all of these wonderful things and intuition and everything that's coming to us? Is that what you're saying?
It is. And you know, what also I'm saying is, well, I haven't actually said it yet, but what I'm leading to is that we can actually set up a system in our minds, if you like, in our consciousness, that then actually promotes that intuition, that higher awareness, that higher positive thinking. And I've actually never really tried to convey this on radio before, because I always like to convey it with visual aids. But I think it is simple enough to talk about here, is that in alchemy, the alchemists of old talk about truth, love, and wisdom. And there's this axiom of truth, love, and wisdom, and it's quite universally represented symbolically. Like, even for instance, on some currencies around the world, you will find pyramids with the words truth, love, and wisdom written on the sides. And you know, it's almost like an occult symbol.
Right.
And you know, people might have seen it and be aware of it without really appreciating the deeper meaning behind this symbol, actually. And what it is about the very thing we're talking about: truth, love, wisdom. You see, truth, what the alchemists say is that when you have truth and when you have love, you have wisdom. And wisdom being what we're talking about now is the higher awareness, is the intuition. Because truth, as they talk about it, means your current reality, your circumstances. And love is what you love. It's your vision. And what they're saying is that when you hold current reality, when you're conscious of your current reality and your vision, what you love simultaneously, when you hold those two aspects, those two elements together, it sets up a tension in your consciousness, subconsciously sets up a tension that seeks resolution. Your mind subconsciously wants to resolve the tension between where you are and where you want to be. For instance, maybe you'd like to buy a house, and also the current reality is you don't have enough money to put down on a deposit yet. And so there's your current reality. That's the truth of where you are relative to where you want to be. And this discrepancy sets up a tension in the mind that the mind wants to then resolve. And then subconsciously, your mind goes to work on attracting that end result, resolving that discrepancy. And part of what happens then is that wisdom gets pushed up. You start developing the awareness and the perceptions that you need to create that end result. And I mean, you know, one of the most common one of the most common examples of this dynamic is scientists, and where often the Einsteins, people like that, will tell you that their inspirations, their brainwaves, their insights into some of the greatest theories that have ever been provided in life, and cures to illness, all sorts of things, have come to scientists when they're taking a walk or when they're taking a shower. It just spontaneously occurs to them. But not by accident. It's because they have been working on that and focused on that end result, and also know the problems and limitations associated with it that they have been focused on simultaneously, what the problem is, what the end result is, and then wisdom pops up, and you know, the answer is revealed to them in a very powerful, inspired way.
When they're not thinking about it, it will pop up. They were distracted by taking a shower.
Exactly.
Okay.
But or taking a walk or whatever. But the important thing about that is that they have set up that tension resolution system without necessarily having knowledge of what we're talking about. But I know a lot of what I know about by having read these scientists, and they are often very conscious and aware of these processes. Great artists, great scientists, people like William Blake, you know, people that we know have been like William Blake, for instance, was an amazing writer and artist, one of the most revered writers and artists of all times, but also one of the greatest inventors of all times. And he wrote a lot about this process of this tension-seeking resolution system. I mean, you know, in the day that he printed his materials, there was no printing process. And he invented a kind of silk-screening process to print his works with, which he invented by applying this technique that we're talking about right now, self-consciously went to bed focusing on what it was that he wanted, that he needed to have, and at the same time focused also, acknowledged where he was at with it, the limitations that he was faced with, that he, you know, the reality that he didn't have something to do the job with. And, you know, he writes, famously writes, how the next morning he woke up with this printing process in his mind that he invented. that just came to him, but not, as I say, by any accident, but because he set up the fertile grounds himself for that to appear. And so all of us can do this. All of us can have a much more powerful perception, a much more inspired, abundant view, and you know, perception of life. If we do the same, if we take, you know, if we start taking responsibility, and I mean, it doesn't take much effort, so I don't know why people wouldn't put it into practice.
Well, that brings me to the question then. What stops people from going forward? For example, he did the printing. He designed it, but it took another... He invented it. He had to actually bring it into reality. He had to build it. He had to put it together. But that sometimes stops people that act from taking that action step. They will think it, but yet they don't go on to bring it in. What is the reason that people stop at that point? Blake was able to go forward, but many people aren't. What is that catching point?
Well, can I just take it back a step, because it's really important that we take it back a step. It's very important what you're raising. But even the process of, you know, I was saying, I wouldn't understand why people wouldn't want to put this process into practice when it's so easy to do.
Right.
I mean, thinking doesn't cost anything. Visualizing doesn't cost anything. There's no investment really in terms of anything other than a bit of time, which also takes no time. And if you think that the few minutes that you need to dedicate to this daily, as I say, just takes a few minutes and is going to be, I believe, the most important input that you will have in your life process, in your creative process, beyond anything else. All the hours of work you put in, every bit of thinking that you do, all the effort, the work that you do, everything you do put together is not going to account as much for your success as is this process of visualization. So we're just establishing that it's really not a big investment. But however, the question is, why won't people even go to the trouble of that? And I'll tell you now, is that, you see, what it takes is the ability to visualize on the one hand, and the ability to acknowledge where you are on the other hand. The ability to acknowledge where you are and go, this is how reality is. Some people have a relationship with that without being visionary on the one hand. And you'll find that people like that will just tend to be skeptics, fundamentalists, and skeptics that they really can, you know, point out in depth, in minutia, the reality of the situation, the drawbacks of the situation, the limitations of the situation, of people or whatever, and yet they don't have any vision. On the other hand, you can have people who have vision, but then don't have a good relationship with current reality.
Right.
And I would say they're idle dreamers. They're idle dreamers, and they can tend to be idle dreamers and wishful thinkers. There is no doubt that positive thinking is hugely beneficial. But there's no limitation to positive thinking. You can think as positively as you like and visualize any situation and circumstance being overcome. But it goes into the territory of idle dreaming and wishful thinking when you have to do that at the exclusion of acknowledging what the reality is, what your circumstances are. Because then there's a belief that the circumstances have the power, and that if you acknowledge them, then what you're going for won't have the power over that. So then you've got to deny it, and it's just really a function of denial, which gives then gives the reality, the circumstances, the current reality, the power, actually. But you see, so what I'm saying is you have to have the ability to visualize on the one hand, and you have to have the ability to just accept how it is, and not just accept, but acknowledge how it is in the moment as well. And the thing is that for some people, to acknowledge how it is painful.
Yeah.
Because of what they believe it means, you see. And here's the thing is, Jules, and everyone listening, how it is means nothing other than that's how it is now. But it means nothing about the future, about one's potential, about, your identity or anything like that. It's just how it is now. It means nothing. But when people look at the thing is that people look at their circumstances, they look at their current reality, and they don't like it because they believe, they identify with it, in other words. They believe it means something about themselves. And so they can have a painful association with the fact that, you know, they're not in a loving relationship at the moment, or they don't have a job at the moment, or just, you know, whatever the limiting circumstance they're in at the moment as they see it.
Yes, but for example, jobs. I mean, we just got this report that, you know, very few jobs were created in December 2013. But if you look at it negatively, you'll see that you are stuck in this negative field and attracting and focusing more on it instead of letting your creativity come up. And because you don't have this job, you can actually visualize something that you do want to do and allow all of that information, that intuition, to help you to get where you want to go. Actually, not having a job is fabulous because you are forced to bring out this creativity and intuition into living a fabulous life.
Well, exactly. And in the context that we're talking about it here, Jules, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm thoroughly happy to be unemployed. And my state of unemployment causes me to be highly creative in life. And I'd do much better in life out of life, I believe, than if I had a job and all the times I ever had a job, you see. And indeed, you see, because if I may use my own life as an example, I am unemployed, and yet I have all kinds of end results. And you and I were talking earlier about my kids and this fabulous school they go to. I don't have a job, and I have kids to educate. I, you know, rent an apartment by the sea in Santa Monica, and, you know,
difficult life right there.
I travel extensively. I go on safaris in Africa every year, and skiing in Japan once a year, and all of that. And so, you know, I have a lifestyle and expenses, and so I have these end results, and the reality is that these things that I do have to be funded, and I don't have a job where I don't work for somebody else. And so, not that that's a stress. We're not talking about stress here, but that's a discrepancy in my consciousness. That there's things that the end results that I want out of life and to experience in life. And also, they need funding, and that's a discrepancy. And I don't just have unlimited, millions of dollars in some bank account somewhere. So there's this discrepancy. This has to be funded. But because of that, and without me racking my brains and working my butt off, constantly, inspirations occur to me. Things that I can do that can add value to other people's lives that I get on with, support me. And because I am focused on end results, and on the one hand, and also am aware of realities on the other hand, which you just discussed. But you were asking me, what stops people from putting this structure in place in their minds, in their consciousness, being, you know, clearly acknowledging and admitting and being aware of their current reality, the truth of where they are, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, visualizing where they'd love to be. And we talked about the current reality. You know, it people identify with it and think it means something about them. So then they don't want to look at that, you know, as if that's going to take the pain away. And it does temporarily if you deny something. But let's face it, it just creates more pain down the road. The other aspect, though, is the visualization. And there are all kinds of reasons why a person would have a painful relationship to visualizing exactly what they love. They might have beliefs about that they don't deserve to have what they love. They don't, they don't deserve to have what they love. They don't believe that it's possible, or whatever the reason, you see. And so the thing is that emotions get in the way of people creating what they love. They identify with their emotions. Like, they can kind of feel uncomfortable with what they would visualize, or the current reality that they have. And so, you know, the thing is, without having to go to, you know, 10 years of therapy to work all of this out, I think that to be manifestors, to apply the law of attraction powerfully and successfully in your life, you really have to develop a new relationship with emotions and emotional stability and emotional comfort. And just acknowledge that, you know, we as human beings, it's just human to experience, you know, some levels of discomfort in life emotionally, and that it doesn't mean anything to just have a new relationship with our emotions, and so that you don't have to feel great when you acknowledge your current reality. You don't have to feel comfortable when you visualize your end results in life.
Well, but as a matter of fact, if you feel bad, that's just the motivating factor for you to feel better. You have
exactly.
You have to feel bad or feel the pain to shift away from it. It's really a blessing.
I agree with you, because also, it, you know, that pain, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that you need pain in your life to create. However, if you do feel a tension in relation to your current reality, or on the one hand, or your vision on the other hand, it's actually powerful, because it's a form of tension, and tension stimulates creativity. It's a known fact. Tension is the creative force of life. And so if you take away the need to always experience comfort and emotional stability, all of that, if you take that away, you can become a really powerful creator, and, you know, also become very powerful intuitively as well, because when you have the courage, you know, a great psychologist that I read once, he said, you know, courage, creating takes courage, and I agree with that, because you know, you actually have to when you go for what matters to you in life, when you go for what you love in life, of course your fears are going to present themselves to you, but if you can then embrace that, and just visualize and acknowledge where you are on the one hand, visualize where you want to be, while embracing all of what you feel, which, as you said, Jules, is very positive, you are going to go to a whole new level of experience of life. And a very powerful level of experience, and it's, as we said, it's the cheapest investment that you can make, in the sense that it doesn't cost you money, it doesn't cost you time, it just you know, I suppose the cost of it is just courage, really. And I don't mean, you know, you're overcoming some kind of fear. It's just embracing what, you know, just all of who you are and what you feel. And the reward of that is astronomical.
I agree with you, because when at the age of 55, I was taking care of my father full time. I didn't have a job, but I was worried about the lack of funds that I was bringing in, which was nothing. So in order to do that, I actually started my radio show. That led me to create Law of Attraction Radio. And because I quieted it down and let everything start flowing to me, everything fell into place. I had no experience in radio or in internet broadcasting or in developing a radio network. I had no experience. It all came to me intuitively.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It was because of that lack that forced me to survive through my creativity. And I think that's what is so wonderful that is happening. More and more people now have an opportunity to develop their creativity, and we can all thrive because of what is happening.
Exactly. And you know, this thing with the jobs, you know, it's just such an amazing example, because it's not the first time in my life that I've seen low employment around, or should I say high unemployment. And the thing that's always struck me in these times is how the people that can't get jobs, and this is not to put anyone down or be derogatory in any way, it's just you know, the reality of how there are those who struggle to get a job, and yet they're those who are no better qualified, who don't have anything more going for them in their personality or their looks, and yet somehow they got multiple jobs going and just finding work all over the place. And really, Jules, it's purely a function of perception. It's just what you see.
Right.
And how you see it. And so it just goes back to perception. And you know, if you are just if your perception, if you're just stuck in looking at those figures that you just mentioned now, the jobless rate and whatever, and you stuck and focused on that, and that's your focus, that this is the level of employment or unemployment at the moment, and that you unemployed, and these are your circumstances, and you're waiting for something outside of yourself to happen, then, you know, most probably not much is going to happen for most people in that situation and with that mindset. And yet for those who can readily acknowledge that is their situation, but then also take the step to imagine what it is that they want out of life and what they'd love to have and to create, then a whole new level of insight and perception is going to open up. But
right.
Along with it, I put it to you, not just a perception, not just, because you see, the thing is we're addressing now, Jules, what you said earlier, which is, why don't people act? Why don't they, you know, like Blake, it came to him one morning when he woke up, the process, a printing process that he then acted on and actually built the machine and then reproduced his works with that. And well, why, you know, what's the problem? Why doesn't everyone do that? Why doesn't everyone act on their insights? And It's a function of, obviously, of motivation and inspiration. And honestly, the same thing, the same dynamic that promotes wisdom, that promotes intuition, it's a function of tension. It's a tension resolution system that then promotes wisdom.
Mm.
But it doesn't only promote wisdom. When you, let's face it, think about the word inspiration, Jules, and think about any time that you've been inspired. I see it with my wife. She's an artist, and she gets inspired to paint. But inspiration doesn't imply only that she sees the picture of the painting in her head. She burns in herself until she's got a paintbrush in her hand and that she is creating a resemblance on canvas of what's in her mind. You yeah. see, she is inspired. The spirit is in her and moves through her. And honestly, that's this beautiful. Process that I've talked about today is also responsible for moving people, for motivating them, for taking action, lightly, happily, joyfully. The same mindset, the same mental mindset, frame of mind that you're in when you get inspired ideas is also a frame of mind that motivates you to take action in a very kind of willing and joyous state as well, rather than as if you're dragging heavy chain behind you. It really is all of the same thing. And if you want to be inspired in a way that you not only become aware of, what's in your highest good, not only become aware of where that is, the steps that you can take towards it, but also the energy. If you also want the energy to go with that, because it's about energy, really, then this process I'm talking about is very powerful. It's an old, as I say, it's been passed down through history by the alchemists. And it's a very simple process. But I think we can agree that often the simple things are the most powerful things in life as well. And this process is an ancient secret. Although many of the greatest minds in history have actually self-consciously been aware of it. From Galileo, Michelangelo, the William Blakes, all through history, great writers, painters, technicians, scientists have actually self-consciously used this process. And as I say, it's very simple. Just know where you are. Have the courage and the fortitude to know where you are, know where you want to be, and hold on to those two points. And out of that will come an experience of life that will amaze you, honestly.
Well, let me ask you one last question about this. Say that you are going in the direction like Blake went and built this printing press. Okay, what about another person who goes and they just can't finish it because they're not getting the right parts? What is that that's stopping them from bringing in other information? Is it ego? Is it that they are trying to control the situation so much, not allowing the intuition to flow through? I have experienced many people who get to a point that their creativity is flowing, and then all of a sudden they're stuck. They get just stopped in creating even more. What is it that stops them? And I think if we can identify this, it will help us to go the whole distance. Are we not visualizing the end result enough?
No, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it can be one of three things in simple terms anyway. What you need in this process that we're talking about today, which I just can't stress how powerful it is, how simple and how powerful it is, you need to be able to handle and grasp current reality, the truth of where you are.
Okay.
You also need the ability to visualize where you'd love to be. And then as the wisdom occurs to you and the obvious occurs to you, you need to take action in relation to what's obvious. So when one of those points become blocked, everything becomes blocked, Jules. When you become stuck in current reality, and I don't mean where you become necessarily obsessed with it, I don't mean stuck like that. I mean stuck in the sense that you're no longer prepared to look at current reality. You cut that element out, or if you cut out the vision, or if you cut out action, if one of those elements dries up, then the whole process is going to get stuck. So you just need to be clear that all three elements need to be moving. And so it just goes back to, well, what is my current reality? What is my end result? What is the obvious action? And I coach people in this. I'm not just talking about this. I've coached thousands of people in creating amazing things in their lives just by coaching them through this process. And I know what you're talking about, because in that process, I've seen thousands of people get stuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, what it always comes back to, that they come to me with all kinds of explanations about what it could be, why, you know, their theory of why they're stuck now and all that. But actually, when we break it down, it just comes back to either they're not, they shut down to their current reality, that, or they shut down to their vision, or they've just stopped taking action in relation to it. And if you keep all three of those elements going, it's like the elements of the cogs in a machine. You know, if you had to imagine you've got some kind of device, some mechanical device that's got three cogs. Well, if one cog gets stuck, you know, the whole thing comes to a standstill.
Right.
And so keep, if someone is clear on their current reality, and I only mean as clear as you can honestly be, and if you're as clear with your vision as you can be, and if you're taking action to the best of your ability, you don't have to be the greatest action hero in the world, just to the best of your ability. If you're clear on those three things, things are going to be moving, and things are going to be shifting very powerfully in your life. It's all about knowing where you are, about handing yourself over to the vision, the end result, and then just swing in that club or whatever it is you're doing in life. You just take the action as best you can, and through that process, you create unbelievable results. And you know, it really is in a sense, well, it's why it's called the magician's way. It's a metaphor, but It really is magic. When you put this process into practice, the results are so astonishing that you have to call it magic. You know, it just is magical.
It really is. And they can get this also on your website, right? It's website is what is the address?
William White Cloud. Well, it's William White Cloud. .com is the website.
Wow.
www.williamwhitecloud.com, and it is also on the website. It's as I say, it's on Amazon, iBooks, any good book delivery system will get it to you.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Or have it for you.
All
Jules,
right.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. I got to say, and we never have enough time.
I know, and I just love it. Thank you so much for coming on today, William.
Thanks for having me, Jules. Always an absolute delight. Hey?
All right. We'll see you soon. And to all my wonderful listeners, have a great, fantastic week. And don't forget to check out the Law of Attraction magazine at lawofattractionmagazine.net. Have a great one. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to jules@loaradionetwork.com, and have a great week.
see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Girl, here's what they say.